Wow, what a beautiful song service this morning. Really enjoyed that. Okay, today's reading is found in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show him by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me."
ヨハネによる福音書21章15節から19節を日本語でお読みします。彼らが食事を済ませた時、イエスはシモン・ペテロに言われた。ヨハネの子シモン、あなたはこの人たち以上に私を愛しますか？ペテロはイエスに言った。はい、主よ、私があなたを愛することはあなたがご存知です。イエスは彼に言われた。私の子羊を飼いなさい。イエスは再び彼に言われた。ヨハネの子シモン、あなたは私を愛しますか？ペテロはイエスに言った。はい、主よ、私があなたを愛することはあなたがご存知です。イエスは彼に言われた。私の羊を牧しなさい。イエスは三度ペテロに言われた。ヨハネの子シモン、あなたは私を愛しますか？ペテロはイエスが三度あなたは私を愛しますかと言われたので、心を痛めてイエスに言った。主よ、あなたは一切のことをご存知です。あなたは私があなたを愛することを知っておいでになります。イエスは彼に言われた。私の羊を飼いなさい。まことにまことにあなたに告げます。あなたは若かった時には自分で帯を締めて自分の歩きたいところを歩きました。しかし年を取るとあなたは自分の手を伸ばし、他の人があなたに帯をさせてあなたの行きたくないところに連れて行きます。これはペテロがどのような死に方をして神の栄光を表すかを示して言われたことであった。こう話になってからペテロに言われた。私に従いなさい。
Again, happy Father's Day. I don't know how you're supposed to respond to that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's a good one. Amen. When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he told them, start this way: Our Father in heaven. Isn't it wonderful that we who follow Jesus can call God our Father? The Greek or the Aramaic there is Abba, and some have said that translates better not Father, which is formal in our language, but maybe Daddy or Papa. Abba, our Papa in heaven. I don't have a Father's Day story for you, unfortunately. I don't know, have you guys ever disappointed your father to the point where he just doesn't even say a word? No? Okay. But although today's story, today's message is about Peter's restoration, it comes at the heel of his denial. If you remember back in John 18, Peter denies Jesus 3 times. However, that didn't surprise Jesus. Jesus, in chapter 13, prophesied to Peter, "You will deny me 3 times. 3 times you will deny me." Before we get into today's passage, let's just take a quick look at that moment when Jesus prophesied that. That's in John 13. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to John chapter 13. It's all the way at the end of 13, starting from verse 36. Let me read. It says, "Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, where are you going?' Jesus answered him, 'Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterwards.' Peter said to him, 'Lord, why can't I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you.' Jesus answered, 'Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly.'" If you notice, whenever there's two truly, that means it's a done deal.
Yes.
Listen up. "Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will crow, will not crow till you have denied me 3 times. The King James, you know, it's beautiful when it's... there's another gospel version where the rooster will crow twice before you deny me thrice or something like that, right? It just flows very well. You know, what do you think caused Peter to deny Jesus 3 times? Think about that for a second. What do you think caused Jesus or caused Peter to deny Jesus 3 times? Yeah, I don't have the answer, so you guys can say whatever you want. You know, I don't have the answer to that, but it's something for you to think about. What would cause Peter to deny his master 3? You guys ever been placed in that situation?
Fear.
Where you've denied somebody? When I was little, probably in like 4th grade or something, I had this dog. I love this dog. You know, what kid doesn't like their dog? You know, we had this dog, but he wasn't the best looking dog. You know, it's the kind of dog that only the master could love, kind of thing. He had short legs, a fat body, and it was just really odd looking, but he was a great dog. We called him Taro. One day, he got out, and he followed me. And he followed me all the way to school. And then I'm in school and he keeps following me. And then all the kids are like, "Oh, look at that dog, how cute, how cute." And even though they're saying that, in my mind I'm like, "Oh no, this is so embarrassing." And so they're like, "How come he's following you? Is that your dog?" And I'm like, "No, that's not my dog. No, that's not my dog." I didn't call down curses and say, you know, "This isn't my dog," kind of thing like Peter did to Jesus, but I denied my dog 3 times. I'm glad, I hope he didn't know that I denied him, but Hopefully he's in heaven and I could reconcile with him one of these days. But this is with Peter. This is the story where Jesus reconciles with him. It's interesting that Jesus wasn't surprised when Peter denied him. And I don't think God is ever surprised when we sin. Isn't that comforting? He doesn't say, ah, he sinned. Like, I didn't, you know, he doesn't do that. He knows when we're going to sin. He knows when we're going to fall short. You know what does seem to surprise God, though, out of anything? Not our sin. Faith. Faith seems to surprise God. The amount of faith or the lack of faith. Those things seem to surprise God. People with great faith, Jesus is pretty impressed with. People with no to little faith, also Jesus is surprised by those things. Anyways, let's get into our scripture reading. It says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. As the disciples were ready to end their day and bring back their fishes, bring back their nets without catching any fishes, Jesus shows up on the shore. This is earlier in the chapter. And tells them, put your net on the other side. They do it. They catch an enormous amount of fish. They bring the fish in, and Jesus has breakfast ready for them. Just a side note, the resurrected Jesus, the resurrected body, actually still eats. I don't know if there's going to be eating in heaven, but the resurrected body can still eat. And this is after breakfast. Jesus begins a conversation with Peter. If you notice, he doesn't call him Peter, though. He calls him Simon, Bar-Jonas, or Simon, son of John. Whenever in Scripture it seems like God changes a person's name, he calls him by that name. Sarai turns to Sarah. Abram turns to Abraham. Jacob and Israel go back and forth. Here, Jesus gives Peter a name. He calls him Peter. But here is back to Simon, son of John. Perhaps because he needed to be restored. He asked Peter the question, do you love me? In the Greek, you see the word love meaning agape. Do you agape me more than these? Now in the Japanese, it already translates what the these are, these disciples. Do you love me more than these disciples? Tamal pointed that out to me while she was doing her translation. Thank you so much, Tamal, again, for always faithfully doing those translations. But in the Greek, it doesn't necessarily specify who these are. Do you love me more than these? It could be, do you love me? Jesus could be asking Peter, do you love me more than the other disciples love me? Jesus could also be asking Peter, do you love me more than you love this company you established, this fishing company? Or he could be asking, Peter, do you love me more than you love your friends? In a sense, I think it means all of those things. Do you love me more than anything and anyone? Peter replies with a yes, I love you. But in the Greek, it's actually yes, I phileo you. I brotherly love you. Jesus asks, do you agape me? And then Peter says, I phileo you. That's enough for Jesus to say, I commission you, go feed my lambs. A lamb is a young sheep. Verse 16, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? Do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Perhaps Jesus wanted to give Peter a second chance of replying back with, yes, I agape you. And so he asked him a second time, do you agape me? This time he doesn't compare it with anything else, but says simply, do you love me? For those of us who aren't familiar with the Greek, agape is a term meaning completely giving ourselves over to something or someone, to agape. Some have said it's the divine love, although in John it's not used that way necessarily, because it says, for men loved darkness. That is not a divine love. It is completely giving over to someone or something. Phileo, on the other hand, is a brotherly love. If you know... some of you may know that Philadelphia, its nickname is the city of brotherly love, and it's because of its name, Philadelphia. Any Eagles fan here? Do you guys even know what that means? Eagles, it's the Philadelphia Eagles football team. Even though they're called the Brotherly Love City, they're notorious for booing Santa Claus and throwing snowballs at him. It's kind of the way it works, you know. If your church is called, you know, Grace Church, for some reason it's not full of grace, you know. It's usually the opposite. Anyways, so even here, Peter, the rock, opposite. He was not the rock. Sort of works interesting like that. Anyways, Peter again replies back though when Jesus says, do you agape me? Peter says, I phileo you. Jesus commissions Peter to shepherd the sheep, not just feed the little lambs, but make sure you shepherd the sheep. It's interesting that Peter can't get himself to say and reply back to Jesus, yes, I agape you. And today, perhaps there are some Christians here today that would have a hard time saying, God, I agape you. I give myself fully to you. It's easier to consider God our best friend, and He is. It's easy to just say, God, you're my Savior. I love you. You've saved me from hell. I appreciate you so much. But how many of us can truly say we've given our entire life fully over to God? I agape God. And that reflects in every area of our lives. It reflects in how we talk. It reflects in how we treat each other. It reflects when we're by ourselves. It reflects on how we use our finances. It reflects on what we do with our free time. It reflects in every area of our lives, God, I agape you. What do you do on your free time? What do you do if you have an extra $20? What do you do when the person cuts you off? What do you do when you're all by yourself and nobody's there to watch you? What do you do in the privacy of your own mind? In every area, can you say, I agape you? Going back to the story, it says, he said to him the third time, verse 17, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. The third time, Jesus asked Peter if he loves me, if he loves Jesus uses the term phileo here. He goes down to Peter's level. He no longer says, do you agape me, Peter? Instead, he says, do you phileo me? Peter was grieved, and perhaps because it was the third time he asked. And if you remember, three times Peter was asked, do you know Jesus? And he said no. Probably a traumatic moment for Peter. And for Jesus to bring it up three times, it might have rubbed Peter the wrong way. Or perhaps Peter was grieved because he no longer asks, do you agape me? But he goes down and says, do you phileo me? Could be a combination of both. We don't really get to see why Peter was grieved. We just know he was grieved. Jesus again commissions Peter, this time, feed my sheep. It's interesting that Jesus would push Peter to grief. In our own walk with God, sometimes as Christians, we think walking with God is going to be just fun and games. However, I do want to say that pain and grief is part of walking with God. Especially if God is trying to restore you. If He's trying to bring you back. It will be painful. It will cause grief. Because that implies there's something that's blocking your relationship with God. Have you ever been in odds with somebody relationally? The restoration process usually is painful, and the longer or stronger that sin is, the more painful it will be for both parties. Correction is almost always painful. And the deeper the roots go with sin, the more painful it will be. Because it requires a bigger change. The biblical term for this is called repentance. Changing not just our mind, but changing our behavior. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time you experienced personally a significant life altering change in terms of your character? Or are you that perfect? When I mean character, I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Any of those areas you've been changed radically or transformed. If you have, great, praise God. By the grace of God, only by the grace of God, those things change. If not, is it perhaps because we avoid pain? We avoid grief? There's a saying, no pain, no gain. And I believe it's true also in the spiritual realm. No pain, no gain. For Peter, this grief isn't necessarily a bad thing. And actually, not being able to get himself to say agape, perhaps that's also not a bad thing. Especially since Peter fell because of denial. You know, Peter was one of those guys, the foot in the mouth disease kind of guy. He was the first guy to speak up, to say something. Whether good or bad, you know, he was the first one to say something. I'll die for you, Jesus. Why can't I go with you? I'll die for you. He was one of those kinds of guys. The kind of guy you would like on your team, you know? However, it's interesting how humbled he is here now. Do you agape me? Not too long ago he said, I'll die for you, I'll do anything for you. But now he just says, God, you know everything. You know me. You know I love you. Using just phileo. He's humbled. He knew he valued his life more than loving Jesus. He knew that. At least he was honest with himself and said, you know, I can't get myself to say I agape you. You know everything, Jesus. Peter doesn't make the same mistake twice. It's okay to make mistakes. But here, he learns from it. Jesus asks them, and he knows, Lord, you know everything. Even if I say something stupid, you know everything. There's no reason for me to boast about how much I love you. You know how much I love you. There's a newfound humility that wasn't there before. That is a sure sign of God doing something radically transformative in our lives. When there's a newfound humility that was not there before. He goes on to say, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was going to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Jesus here foretells Peter's death. His death will actually, legend has it, he is crucified. But as he was going to be crucified, Peter says, I don't want to die like my Lord. I'm not worthy to die like my Lord. Put me upside down. So I believe he was crucified upside down. And although this seems like a terrible way for anyone's life to end, Jesus says that this would glorify God. Peter glorifies God through his death. These types of endings, and what I mean by these is seeming failures, for some reason, glorifies God. Peter dies crucified, glorifies God. Paul, if you know him, prolific writer, evangelist, apostles, you know, towards the end of his career, there were so many people calling him a false apostle, a false apostle, a false teacher, slandering him, glorifies God. You know, all the prophets, they didn't get a parade. In fact, they were thrown into lion's den, they were cast into exile, they were sawn in two, although in God's eyes, glorified. After giving this final, seemingly heavy prophecy, Jesus commands him, follow me. Peter, you saw what they did to me. Come, follow me. Peter, you know what this life is going to cost. Come, follow me. Peter, I want you to follow me because look at me now. This is the resurrected Jesus saying this. And Peter looking at Jesus, knowing that there's going to be hell and high water to pay, realizes that on the other side of that, there is glory, there is hope, There is a powerful resurrection waiting for us. Peter goes on and follows Jesus. And I want to present this to you as well. Would you follow Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we do have hope. Hope beyond this world. Hope beyond the grave. Hope beyond our accomplishments here. That, Father, you have prepared for us an inheritance that no one has ever deserved. A great inheritance, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would enable us to follow you. That our love for you would grow ever increasingly from phileo to agape. That we would love you with all of our heart, mind, strength, and soul. That we would give ourselves truly and fully over to you. In Jesus' name, amen.